Blog Talk Radio.
We're back. We're live after the July 4th. We're here, and it's a gorgeous day in New York, and it's nice and low humidity, although I sound like something else. I don't know. I'm still jet lagging. What about you, Miss Cynthia?
Cheers, and Pip and all that. Welcome back from across. I'm doing my really bad. What is that? It's like a combination British,
I don't know what.
Irish, just, yeah. I was following your, on Facebook of your little event you did over in, it was in Leeds, right?
Yes, it was. It's lovely. I've never been to Leeds. It was absolutely beautiful. They also took me to York. I had some proper, afternoon tea. It was fabulous. I never been up in that, to visit. I've only been, to Manchester, Liverpool. This is the first time I've been into York and Leeds, and it was absolutely grand. I had a great time. The people, John and Marion, they have this thing called the PA Hub that they run, and it's yearly where they do this award show. And this is like they have so many members, and 300 people showed up to honor, people who are great PAs, not just personal assistants, but executive secretaries. We're talking a little broader, not just personal assistants. And it was fabulous, and they voted who was one of the best employers and things like that. I had a great time. I took as my guest my friend Alan Gregg, who is who does the internet security and stuff, net defense.
Yeah.
And
Alan helped me out a little bit there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
he came as my guest. Yeah, it was great. And he came in, because it was a black tie affair, he came in his kilt.
Va, va, boom. Wow, you've had a much more exciting week than I. Well, here in Tennessee, we have had violent, violent weather. It's been every single day off. So I thought I heard a noise behind my house, and I was like, what was that? But it wasn't loud. It wasn't. I opened my door, the tree right behind my house, giant tree, boom, down on the ground. And it just must have gracefully pirouetted down, because all I heard was a doop. That's it.
Oh, wow.
Just
lucky.
And it didn't hit my house, which is a good thing and a bad thing, because now I got to pay to have it carted off, because it didn't hit anything. So, yeah.
Well,
but
it's
been
a good thing, bad thing. Yeah, I know.
It's been crazy. So that's life on the farm. That's life on the farm. You know what? And you know what? It's a perfect segue into, we've been all summer long, we've been really, really happy together to have our special guests, the Councils. They're out on the Happy Together tour, and they've been calling in on the road from the tour bus to bring us up to date on all their shenanigans. Well, they took a little break, but they're about to go back on the road again. And without further ado, we want to welcome back Paul Council to bring us up to snuff. Hello,
absolutely.
Paul.
Hey, welcome, you guys. Paul. Hi, Cynthia. Hi, May. So listen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just give you the update on the injury reports.
So great.
what happened was in Westbury last month, Howard Kalin was coming off the bus, and his backpack hooked up on this little thing that juts out of the frame of the door that the door latches onto, and he detached his Achilles tendon. And so we went right to the doctor after the Westbury show that very next morning on the way to Terrytown, and he had to have an operation. So what we did, me and Susan actually took care of Howard, getting him iced, getting him showered, getting him back to the hotel to try to keep that. The doctors told us we have to keep the swelling down so they can do this operation. It was a 20-minute operation, but Howard had it done right after the Hampton Beach show. which was like the June 26th. He went right back to New York. They did the 20-minute surgery. And then he had to stay there through till Friday because he couldn't fly because of the blood clotting thing that
right.
happens
oh.
after a major surgery like that. So, guys, and he did every show after that. We would bring him out onto stage. He sat in a director's chair, and he was killing it. I mean, he was singing so well and just doing – I mean, he was just pulling from a deep, deep spot in him to get the rest of these shows done. And they were just fabulous. I mean, we were just watching him go, man. And this guy is a warrior. And then he had to get that operation, and he got on a train. And he took a train from New York City all the way to Seattle. Yeah, and he was on a particular train, I guess, that had these cars, these birthing cars that also came with, you know, an attendant to help you out with whatever injury you were traveling with. And so I talked to Howard. He was doing great, and he got to Seattle the 5th of July and has been recuperating, and he's ready to go. This guy is
wow.
crazy, you guys. I mean, he is the consummate entertainer because he just would not say no. He wouldn't, and everybody was worried, and he was the least worried about himself of anybody. We were all real worried, and he was just going, come on, let's do the shows.
The show must go on. Well, you know, I promise you one thing, Paul, that there won't be a shower tape coming out because, you know, I can't get that visual out of my mind.
Yeah, no. It's fine. And, you know, look, I was a caregiver for a couple of kids that had muscular dystrophy for about 6 years. So I'm a real good caregiver. I know just what to do. And I had my two knees, you know, replaced. And so I was good with ice and good with the wrapping. So I became the medic, and Susan became a medic, and we were just taking care of Howard for that last week. And he's coming back out. We're all excited, and he's very excited to get back out on the road, where we're going to pick it up all in California.
Okay, so where's your next date? Like, where are you going to go first?
The very next in Santa Barbara, California, and that will be on July 13th. We all meet there on the 12th, which is tomorrow, I think. And then off we go, and we do Santa Barbara. We're going to do San Luis Obispo. Then we jot out to Las Vegas and Arizona for a couple of shows, and then we come back in to Humphreys in San Diego, and then we're going to end it at the Sabin Theater in Beverly Hills, and then on to the Pacific Amphitheater. And then we're going to have another little break. What they did this year was, instead of having 2 days off every Monday and Tuesday, they kind of took that away and just booked those days. And now we had 2 weeks off. We had actually, 2 weeks off on this one. We'll have a week off after Costa Mesa, and then we come back August 1st, and we don't stop. There's 2 days off, and we do, you know, 30 shows in, like, 32 days.
Cool.
Hopefully I get to see you again on the East Coast, as we were just talking about it.
In Pomona, New York, on the 15th at the Providence Bank Park. Come on out, even if we don't like the guy. Come on out.
Oh, let me tell you. Come on. Yeah, I know. It's my old where I used to live. Where I just moved from Pomona, New York. I just can't believe it. So it's a great little venue. I've been to the park last year. Your brother played for this band, this little known, you know, unknown band called the Beach Boys.
Oh, yeah, the surfing guys. Yeah, I don't know what's up with them. No.
Well, you know
I
what? I hope you have better weather than they. It was pouring with rain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We've been very lucky, May, on this whole thing. We've had great weather, you know, all the time, which is interesting with all the weather that's been happening.
I
felt bad about Cynthia's tree coming down.
I know. Isn't that terrible? I was going to say, you're going to be out in all these places, which is like triple-digit temperatures at some point.
Yeah.
You're going to be taking like 10 showers a day.
Yeah, pretty much. It just gets, and I sweat anyway. I sweat on cool days. I can't imagine what will happen when it's a hot day. But we've been lucky there, too. The weather's been great for everything. So we're hoping that keeps up.
I have a music question for you, Paul, and it's just a little technical question because I'm trying to spread my music wings a bit here. But now, do you find it different indoor and outdoor performing? I mean, is it a different dynamic?
it is a different dynamic. And what's interesting about the outdoor concerts is that Steve Murphy, our drummer, we get to take that plexiglass away. When we're inside, we have to use plexiglass on the drum so the sound guy can have control, you know. And so I talked to Steve about it, and he loves it when the plexi's up. He understands that we're not getting his drums on stage, you know, the way we would in an outdoor venue. But the outdoor venues we love because now the drums are just kicking us right in our butts, you know, right there. So that's the biggest difference I see is just with the drumming and having that plexiglass up or not. I do love the outdoor concerts because it's just a freer feeling. You know, when you're inside, I, you know, you've got limitations on your stage and you just feel a little bit more limited than when you're outside. And outside's great. You know, what's great about it is it's kind of how we all went to concerts back in the day. They were always outside, it seemed. You know, there were some halls and stuff like that, but the big concerts were being done in, like, baseball stadiums, like The Who, you know, and stuff like that. So, but I think that the sound guy, he seems to like outdoor. So I you know, I like outdoor because you're just outdoors, you know, and mm-hmm. if it's hot, that doesn't really matter. It's a different kind of vibe. It's more of a free vibe. You're seeing everybody because usually they're in the day.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I wanted to know. Can you see the audience better? Do you feel the audience better? Because it just seems to me like it would be a closer thing.
It is cool.
It's a mini Woodstock.
It is a mini Woodstock. It's and it's kind of like to see the audience is, for me, I love seeing the audience. I miss the audience when we're inside and those lights are hitting us hard. You know, you're trying to see everybody. But, boy, when you're on the stage in the day outside, you are literally speaking to the people, which is great. I love mm-hmm. it. I mean, we love the fans and the crowd and everything like that. So it's really fun to be able to see them.
Oh, have you gotten, has Spencer Davis been on the tour?
You know what? I've been trying to find out. I thought I was told that he was going to be joining us on the California run.
Oh, okay.
But,
so that should be soon. So it should be now, tomorrow, whatever.
It should be now. It should be tomorrow. And I'm anxious to hear. I asked the powers to be what was happening on that, and they never got back to me on that. So I felt that maybe it was none of my business or, you know, information coming as I need it. So,
well,
yeah,
whatever.
I'll let you know next Monday, you guys.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Definitely. So it's great. I'm excited I get a chance to see you again when you come back.
Yeah, it'll be great. Yeah, in your hometown. It'll be awesome.
Absolutely. And it's going to be fun. And, you know, it's been warm here, but nice. It's supposed to be really muggy here at the end of the week.
But by the
time you come, I just hope that it's just nice, cool weather. That's all.
Yeah. Well, you know? We're professionals. It doesn't matter what the weather is, just so the people are there and we get to sing our music to them. That's the thrill of our life right now.
It is for the audience too. I mean, it's a great show. Anybody that, you know, is familiar with any of the music that all of you artists do would really enjoy it. And the great thing about it is I think you're sounding better and
Absolutely.
You sounded great to begin with. So this is a plus for all of you. And
thanks. You know, having been offered this whole thing at this late stage in our life, you know, that was a joy in and of itself and a gift. But then to come out here, I mean, you get jacked up. Boy, you don't want to let anybody down. You don't want to let those people down. You really want to give them what they're there to hear. And that's what we heard when we were in junior high school and high school. And that's these records done the way that the records that we all listen to are. And everybody's killing that part of it. Everybody's doing their records. Me and my sister Susan, who will be with us next Monday, we've been watching everybody, and everybody's stepping up their game. I swear to God, everybody's stepping it up. I mean, Mark Lindsay
around. I think you brought a lot of it to the table to make everybody step up, because I've seen a lot of these guys before. And let me tell you, and I've told this to other people, and I've posted it on my Facebook. I said, you sound better now than you did when you guys first came out. And when people, it's like my friend that I brought with me, Rose, and when she came to the show,
she
said to me, she kept saying to me, oh, yeah, you tell me the reason I didn't. She goes, the first time she didn't come, she says, Cal Silva, okay. She said, Oh, my God, I'm so glad you brought me, that you asked me for the second time. She goes, they are so fantastic. And she couldn't stop talking about you guys. So,
well, she was a sweetie, May. She was a sweetie, and she didn't even have to hang out like she did and say those kind things to me that she did. And so you give my love to Rose when you see her because she made me feel pretty good.
Today's her birthday. Today's her birthday,
Rosie's
birthday. Yeah, yeah, today's her birthday.
Happy birthday,
happy
Rose.
Birthday
I'm going to have to give her.
You. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rosie. Happy birthday to you. If you're listening.
Aww. I'm going to make sure she hears this. You know that.
All right.
It's great.
All right. Well, Paul, we're going to let you go because we know you're getting revved back up to get out there. And it doesn't. I have a feeling it doesn't take much to recharge the Paul Cowfill battery, okay?
Absolutely.
No.
Yeah.
No, it takes nothing. What they try to do is discharge the Paul battery because the Paul battery is constantly going, and I think I drive some of these cats crazy, but oh, well, that's me.
Well, I can't wait to hear from you guys again next week, and give Susan our love and your brother, too.
Absolutely.
Take care.
I will. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right, you bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye. He is like he's such a super guy. You know what you know, we sound like we gush and you have your you know, man crush on him, but it's like they are super people. The concert's great. If it comes to your area, go and check it out because
absolutely.
It's well worth it.
That's what I told you for a long time before you even saw them because they're phenomenal. Their voices are phenomenal. Their banter with each other, they're so great. And there has not been one person that has seen them of late that said, oh, they couldn't believe it. They said, oh, my God, they sound great. I always liked, they said, I like the Castles, but now I even like them more. I mean, that's, you know, they're wonderful.
Well, you know, the thing is, May, if we sat with a blindfold, you would swear it was still the Castles from way back when. They still sound young. Their harmonies are still great. They still sound, their sound, if anything, is better. And I don't know of a lot of artists in their maturity, shall we say, that can make that same claim.
Yes, that's a good way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Most people I know at this stage of the game, I will say that their vocals are not up to par. They don't sound anything like they can't reach the notes. There's very few people. I will say, and the people that really can do it are a lot of the older people. Some, I guess because they sang all the time, whatever it may be. Like, I was just thinking, another ex-neighbor of mine is Jay Siegel. Now, when I see him, I can't believe it, but I've seen him in concert, but he's the voice that, and he sings The Lion Sleeps Tonight. And so that's why it's crazy, and you know, and he sounds exactly the same. He hits those high notes and the whole thing, you know.
It's same thing with Lou Christie.
Lou Christie is another one. He sings in the same key from back then.
You know, and I mean, you know, my lack of knowledge about music, but I've learned over the course of time that we've done this show and asking questions. It's like, I think there's a difference between doing this because you want to make a lot of money and doing this because it's something you really love to do. Oh, and the byproduct is you might make money. These guys really genuinely love doing what they're doing.
Yes. Loves it. Loves it. I'm telling you. It's amazing. And, you know, I have to thank Lou and his group of people that have invited me over the years to all his shows. And then I get a chance to see a lot of the people that I admired when I was a kid. Like, I got a chance to see the Righteous Brothers and Johnny Maestro. And, you know, and some of these people have since, you know, have left us. And, but you know what? Lou's sounds exactly the same. When he hits those notes of lightning strikes, oh my God, he can still do it, you know.
Well, you know, and the other thing is too, and I mean that famous dude that you used to, you know, live with a while back there, he was a fan. I mean, he was a fan, you know.
He was a big fan.
Yeah,
huge.
And I find that really, really, I think there's a, now I'm saying this and it's strictly my opinion and people will argue with me, but I think there's a disconnect with artists of today. I don't think there's a great admiration society like there was back then. They're really,
right.
They, I mean, he was a fan.
Absolutely,
you know,
he was a fan.
You talk
about
him meeting people, well, you told that one story not too long ago about him like actually being like almost shy about meeting somebody who he admired so much. And that was John, you know, and we're talking about John Lennon here, who, you know, could hold his own against anyone, certainly.
And he did his dues to people who, you know, who had inspired him. And he
mm-hmm.
loved all of the early days of Chuck Berry, Little Richard, you know, and Fats Domino. And, you know, he went for it. He would tell you. That's what, you know, that's what drove him to where he was at the time, you know, in his writing
mm-hmm.
and his inspiration and, you know, and all the people that influenced him. He loved all those oldies. He loved Carole King, you know, the Neil Sedaka. It was just everything about it. Oh, you know what, this past weekend, just to talk about people, you know, we've known, a friend of mine sent me a link, and I don't know if you saw it on my Facebook, and it's Kiki D. And Kiki D was an opening act for Elton back in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and I was just, she was talking about the night of the last public appearance of John on when he got up to perform with Elton. And it was great to hear Kiki remember her little bit from that night. Because we all, as she said, we all got to hang together. It was good fun.
Which when you hear about, and we're talking about in music, the Elton Johns, the John Lennons, we're talking about mega super stars, you know. So when you find out that they actually delight in meeting each other or hanging out with each other, just as people, I find that interesting. I find that it makes them a little bit more
human,
real. Yeah. You know, and I mean it's so when you find out that a John Lennon was a fan of an act that never reached the superstardom that he was. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like, okay, you're a fan of somebody who was never as famous as you, but you're a fan of them.
I went back and told people that I knew that John admired, loved their singing, and there's some of the you know, stars. I went back and I told them, and they were like, John Lennon knew who I was? He's a fan of mine? You know, and I would say, yeah. One person I said that to, and she was so, couldn't believe it, was Carla Thomas. And I got a chance to tell her, and she couldn't believe it. When he loved something or someone singing or whatever, he just would promote it to all the, you know, with his whole heart and soul, because that's how
yeah.
he was. Yeah.
And
it was nice.
And not even necessarily popular musicians or, you know.
No.
You know,
but it was
like
whoever
he
felt. And if he could, he
yeah.
would promote
them. Well, like Neil Sedaka. I mean, certainly there's people who would say, John Lennon was a fan of Neil Sedaka, you know. But come on. You know, so I find that interesting. I find that
yeah.
interesting. I think you even shared that with a few people on the show that we've had. And said he liked your music, and they were, like, blown away by that. I can't think of,
yeah,
you know,
a lot
particular
of
right now.
Didn't know. Yeah, a lot of people
yeah.
didn't know. And how would they know unless, you know, and especially now, and it's something that John and I shared so much about with music. So I would go, and when I remembered, who did I say that to? I said it to Steve Martin. He probably looked at me like I had five heads, you know. And, you know, I just sort of said, I just want you to know that John thought you were great, you know, because he came out as a young comedian, and John really loved him when he had the arrow through his head. You know, he wore that arrow.
I saw him when he opened for Sonny and Cher, okay?
Yeah.
Now, you wanted
right.
that, and that was when he was, like, first. And he
right.
had his arrow in
doing.
The head routine. And
yeah.
I was like, I thought he was hilarious, but there was hardly anybody in the audience really got it.
Right.
They really
well, that
didn't,
was one of
you know.
John's favorite new people, because his ultimate favorite comedian was Jonathan Winters. Loved Jonathan. And when he met him, he was over the moon. He was over the moon. So it's kind of interesting. Yeah. So there you go. So, I mean, there's a lot of people couldn't believe it. I even told that to who was another singer, songwriter, more songwriter, was Carol King, that, you know, that John admired a lot. So there you go. Hey, you know, we're winding down already.
We are winding down. What's on the May Pang calendar coming up?
How about you coming over and help me unpack?
You know, I have no organizational skills. I'm revving up, actually, to do a yard sale with Nancy, with our friend Nancy Leanders. Yes, yes. Cynthia has decided it's time to – oh, no, I'm not looking forward to it. She's kind of making me do it now. Yes, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it. And
it's hard. No. But you know what?
Oh,
at the end of the day, you have to let it go. And it's still hard, because there were things that I didn't want to let go, and still to this day I'm a little upset that they're not here. And you know what? I have to, you know, it was like I had great ice trays. They either got tossed in the pile, or you know, got sold. I don't remember. But now I come here. I need an ice cube tray.
You got to buy
ice
cubes.
I don't have an ice cube tray. Yeah. So there are things that ended up leaving my possession, and now I have to go and rebuy some of these things.
I started with my clothes, and I mean, you have to, after a certain point, you have to be realistic and look at something and say, even if I were to want to wear that, could I even get it up over one leg? You know, I mean, so you have to be kind of realistic about that. So, but mine is shoes. You know what a shoe person I am. And living where I live, there's absolutely no reason for me to have a collection of, high heels. There just isn't. You know, I'm going to totter around in my lower 40 with my 5-inch lubies. I mean, come on. It's like ridiculous.
I know. I understand. That part I do understand. It's scary,
Yeah. But I don't even know if I could totter around on them anymore. So, you know, so I'm trying to be pragmatic about it, and I'm trying to say, okay, just let it go, just let it go, just let it go, and hope that I'm not like on that show Hoarders where I keep sneaking the stuff back in, Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, I just don't want to find a sandwich that I hadn't eaten. Years. Oh, what happened here? You know what? It frightens me. Yeah, it frightens me, because there's still stuff when the movers came. Then I turned around and I said, "Oh, we just gotta, you know, pack up this room." And I turned around and my handbag left. And you know, thank God, I my wallet wasn't in there. I would have been freaked out. I can't find the handbag, because there's something's in there that I need. And I haven't found my cutlery yet. All this time, I've not found 3 weeks.
I still haven't found it. You know what's going to happen? You're going to go buy some, and then you're going to find it.
I'm not buying it.
That's Murphy's Law, baby.
I'm using plastic forks right now. I found my cutting knives, but not my everyday cutlery. I haven't found. There's a lot of things I haven't found. So, you know, I got to build some stuff I bought from IKEA. I wish you were here. You can help me out with this. But that's what I got to do. I'm back to do some of this. And then who knows what my next trek is, you know. I'm just, it's the summer. I just got to get my house in order. Anyway, we're down, and we're down to 52 seconds, 51 seconds. And let me tell you, it's great to be back. And I'll be talking, and I'll be seeing everyone soon. And I'm signing off. This is May Pang.
Okay. Well, it is good to have you back, Ms. May Pang. And we talked to Paul Castle. Looking forward to having our running conversation about the Happy Together Tour. I'm Cynthia Nielsen. You've been listening to Dinner Special. Lordy. Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week, everybody.